Is imposter syndrome a debilitating syndrome that we have to overcome? Or is it another name for fear that we've allowed to sneak into our life and make our lives, well, seem more overcomplicated or seem that we're not worthy enough for what we want? Well, that's what we dive into today in today's episode. So let's do this. Hey, and welcome to the Full Weight of Joy podcast, the podcast for women who are done stressing about the weight of the world, of expectations, and settling for status quo, and ready to step into the full weight of joy. Joy in the journey, whether up or down, joy through the life's challenges, and joy in loving your life right where you are, even though sometimes we feel like chucking it all and moving to Bali. It's for women who are ready to step into who God called them to be. He chose you to be in this world. He created you for a specific purpose. God called us to be the light on a hill, and by embracing who you are and whose you are, you can stand on that hill and shine. The best part, when you're standing next to another woman who's also on the journey, the world gets brighter. My name is Tammy. I'm your host and a master certified life coach and a trained therapist. For over a decade, I've been helping women do just that. Step into who they're called to be and shine. Are you ready, friend, to start your journey? Let's do this. Tell you a story about Emma. So Emma has been a client of mine for a little while, and she is an amazing woman. She has two kids, and she's smart. She's actually brilliant. She's kind. She loves gardening. Her passion is gardening. She loves organic gardening, and she has always felt this need. There's something missing in her life. She felt guilty. The reason why she came to me in the first place is she's like, I have a great life. I feel like there's something else I'm supposed to be doing. I love my family, which she did. She's an amazing mom. And so as we started talking, we got to the subject of gardening and how she would love to teach others how easy it can be to garden, how much satisfaction she gets from growing her own food and the fact that she doesn't have to buy a lot of grocery store vegetables and fruits because of her practices and how she can do it in a small yard. Like, she has all of this knowledge. And she finally said, I'd really like to teach people how to do this. And so I asked her, I'm like, well, why don't you? Like, what is stopping you? She's like, well, I don't know enough. And I'm not a businesswoman. It's not. And I was like, okay, well, let's talk about that. One of the things that I realized that she's suffering from is imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is nothing new. This is a phrase that we are hearing more and more and more around the world, around the in the business world and the mom world. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, have you ever felt like an imposter? Have you ever felt like you weren't that you had some skills lacking in order to do something? That you have these skills and you have this dream, but the bridge there isn't inadequate to cross the bridge. This is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. This is a new way that fear is showing up. And I just wanted to talk about it today because I really do believe that this is another way that our brains are keeping us safe. I have suffered from imposter syndrome. It's one of the reasons why it took me so long to start my podcast or to even talk about my coaching business, because I had these thoughts that snuck in about, am I good enough? So I wanted to talk to you today because many of you have talked about, oh, I have imposter syndrome, or I think it might be imposter syndrome. And let's narrow that down. And let's demystify it a little bit, and let's not give it this this place of honor that it wants. Like, let's break it down. Let's talk about really what it is,
Because when we identify it and we define it, it no longer controls us. When we start to look at imposter syndrome, here's five things that I believe are at the root of it. Is one of them is the reluctance to pursue a new opportunity. Like Emma, she had success in the gardening. She's been gardening for years. Even when she was a young girl, she had an affinity for it. She's had a green thumb. She's so good. There's times that I've called her or texted her about, hey, what do I do with this? And instantly she gave me a fix. She knows the world of gardening. And yet the idea of starting a business and the responsibility that she put on herself, that what that meant was overwhelming. And so it's easier to put on this, I have imposter syndrome, than to really look at, oh, I'm really nervous about pursuing something new. I'm really nervous about putting myself out there. I'm fearful about not knowing what it could lead to. The next one is overworking to prove your worth. This one I have been guilty of multiple times. And any of my Enneagram 2s, this is one of the plagues that I know that you carry, is when we strive for perfection and we strive to prove our worth, it just leads us to more disappointment. It's because people don't see what we're driving at. Sure, they see all the great things we're doing and they're like, oh, high five, good job. But when we're overworking to prove our worth, I don't look at you and be like, let me see what she does in order to see if she's worthy. But yet that's how we see ourselves, that our worth is tied into our actions. And this is another area where imposter syndrome will come in, because of course, if you are striving, there's always room for improvement. There's always something new to learn. There's always a new idea or a new framework or a new concept or something that we don't know. Like, the world is growing and information is growing at such a fast pace. We can't possibly know everything about a subject. Even Emma, when we go back to that gardening, I mean, new technology, new scientific evidence, new understanding the way the soil is. But if she just sat in that, I'm just going to take all the classes about the soil and I'm not actually going to do anything with it, and I'm just going to keep sacrificing my well-being and just try to, I'm going to keep acting until someone's like, oh, can you teach me that? It doesn't happen very often. Like, it doesn't happen consistently enough to grow a business from that. Overworking to prove that you're worthy is one of the fastest way to feel inadequate. It's one of the fastest ways to feel like it's that you're not enough. So we need to separate our worth and our skills. The worth you hold is because of who you are, not what you do. And if we sit and we allow this imposter syndrome and we overwork because we're trying to do this version of imposter syndrome that's overworking, we're going to feel drained. We're going to feel more fearful because we're not getting the results, we're not getting the feedback that we need, that we're looking for. So what can we do instead? Separate your worth from the skills you have. Emma, in herself, she is an amazing woman. She's kind. She's driven. She is so epically smart. And the skills she holds have to do with the gardening and understanding the soil and having these unconventional ways to grow plants that are, like, they're just fun, like different things she uses as like the baskets or the buckets kind of thing. So when she stopped putting her worth and overworking in order to be seen, and she realized that the skills she has, like her ability to start a business, is a dream she had, and acknowledging that, which also is that pursuing the new idea. So they all kind of go in together. But when she started looking at this idea of the imposter syndrome was really, she was reluctant. And then she was overworking because she felt she needed to prove something to herself and others before she could start. And then the third one is difficulty accepting praise. When someone tells you you're good at something, our first inclination, and this comes from, if you come from a faith-based background, it was, you know, we want to be humble, but humble and confident can walk hand in hand. Like, confident and pride can walk hand in hand, but it's not the same. Like, you can be really good at what you do, and you can accept the praise. Because again, if our worth is not tied up in our skills, and they're praising the skills, it doesn't say, it just says great job to you. Own it. It's okay if we are recognized for our achievements. Like, heck, like, most of the time, we need some praise. There's times I need someone to say, Tammy, that was really good. I'm really proud of you. It feels good. It's that value. And a lot of times I'm the one who has to say it to myself. But when I was owning the, like, oh, I just have imposter syndrome, realizing really I had difficulty in accepting praise and accepting my skills. So what can you do to accept what you're good at? Again, separate your worth and your skills. Your worth, though they can walk hand in hand together and they elevate you quicker, the who you are, those characteristics, the drive, the ability to overcome, all of these attributes, these character traits, they partner with your skills to make things happen. They are not, your skills are not what makes you who you are. Your skills, the hats you wear are, and the things that you do not get to decide your worth. So accept praise. Accept the things you're good at. In fact, like, just say, you know what, I'm just going to accept that. Thank you. I really worked hard on that. No one's going to think you're prideful. No one's going to think you're too big for your britches. When you accept praise, you're enabling other people to accept it too, that you can model for them that it is okay to be good at something and to accept it and to acknowledge it. And it's also a great thing to acknowledge it in other people. If you're good at dishing it out but not taking it, like, ask yourself why. What is it? And is this something that you need? Is this the imposter syndrome, like, manifesting in your life and it doesn't belong there? Another place where I believe that a lot of women have earned the characteristics of imposter syndrome is feeling like you're an outsider. I don't have a lot of entrepreneurial friends. I have friends who are go-getters. I have friends who are amazing moms who the things that they do for their kids are pretty darn fantastic. I have, you know, a lot of overachiever friends who are amazing, and I love watching and learning from them. But there's we all have this sense that we're a little bit different, that we're a little bit of an outsider, or our friends may not completely understand what we're going through. But friend, we don't all have the same experiences. In my immediate friend group here in Tulsa, I'm the only widow. I'm the only one who has that experience. And so it is a little different when my friends are talking about their relationships and having, you know, a 20-year relationship that's, you know, they're struggling with a new, you know, a new issue or something. I can't relate to that, but I also talk to them about being in a new relationship as an adult. They can't relate to that. We all have these things that make us feel like an outsider, and we can appreciate that. If we were all the same and had the same experiences, like, we would have no interesting conversations or we would have no growth opportunities. So when you're feeling like an outsider, ask yourself why. What makes you the outsider in this group? And how can you make that like into a meaningful connection? How can you contribute from your perspective? If you're feeling like an outsider, like, are you comparing yourself to others? Are you comparing? Because comparing reinforces the inadequacies. That's all it does. Is we can compare. I mean, it is, and I'm just speaking from experience here, like in the grief journey, it's, you know, comparing one's grief journey to another. And it's like, why? We all have our own, we have our own motivations. We have our own desires. We have our own experiences. We have different circumstances that led up to this challenge. But when we stop comparing ourselves to others, because I think that is where the imposter syndrome comes in, because then it's like, well, it downplays and it makes it feel like you shouldn't matter or your experience is different, but it's not as, not as strong, not as important, not as dramatic. Your story is your story. Feeling like an outsider does not have to be something that pulls you apart. The ability to make a meaningful connection and contribute when you have a different experience than those around you. I have traveled a lot more than my friends, than a lot of my friends. It doesn't make me better. It gives me more experience in that. I ask my friends, I'm like, okay, when you live in a house for so long, how do you clean out the car? Like, what are some tips? How can I keep things organized? Because at this point, I've already packed it up, purged as much as I can, moved to a different house, unpacked it, purged again. You don't do that when you live in the same house. So I've asked them, the fact that I'm an outsider with that, it gives them an ability, gives them the opportunity to pour into my life and give me advice. The same as when they're like, Tammy, where should I go? My husband and I want to go on a week-long trip without the kids. Where should I go if we want to stay within this radius or with this dollar amount? Again, being different does not mean that you don't belong. It's when you decide that difference is going to impact your ability to connect, or you're going to allow yourself to not connect, because there's always something that you can connect about. So the feeling like an outsider is also a way that imposter syndrome shows up. And the last one I'm going to share is the hesitancy to share your own ideas and opinions. It is scary. It is downright scary to actually have an opinion and share it nowadays. If you have a thought that goes against the crowd, it is like, it's scary to say it because of, well, now you don't really have to have facts or you don't even have to have experience to make an opinion or to share an idea. You don't have to have any understanding or basis or foundation to make a rash judgment. The problem is that we need your ideas and your opinions, especially when they come from experience. Many of my friends, when I find like, what's your take on this and why? The idea that you're going to be exposed as a fraud or an outsider because you believed something different, there's definitely a place where it's like, okay, if you just throw it out online, you're throwing it to the wolves. But if you share your ideas and opinions with your friends or with your friend group or in a safe space, like, don't worry about what other people think. Because if it's a safe space, we need to hear it. When it's something, because my friends who typically have these ideas or opinions, they are well crafted and they allow me to grow because I understand it. They gave me a different perspective. So holding back on these thoughts and contributions into discussions, like, this is a form of, this is how imposter syndrome shows up as well, because you're like, well, I don't know enough. I don't have enough insight, or my insight is different than someone else's. And it halts, smothers the authenticity. It smothers growth. So when you find yourself that it's difficult showing up and sharing, ask yourself why. Because if you have a formed idea that you have some evidence to back it up, or you have some ideas that are like, you know, I've thought this through and it could work, maybe it's just something funny. We need to hear it. But the more we address these things, so the five ways, again, are like the reluctance to pursue a new opportunity, overworking to prove your worth. Again, separate your worth and your skills and your worth and what you do. Difficulty accepting praise, feeling like an outsider, and hesitancy to share your own ideas and opinions. Like, these are ways that imposter syndrome shows up in our lives. These are ways that I can go through every one of my clients and I can pick out one of these. In fact, this is how I came up with this list, because it's multiple clients have had one or more of these and have said, Tammy, I have imposter syndrome. I want to get rid of imposter syndrome. And I want to give you a little, like, have a little grace here. Give yourself a little bit of a break. Because again, imposter syndrome is not new. It's a new word. It's a new term. It's getting some buzz, but we've elevated it to this place where when we start picking it apart, we see it for its worth, and it's just a fear of not being worthy, a fear of being inadequate, a fear of being rejected, a fear of not being able to explain things the way you want to. It's a fear that is outward focused. And the longer you allow imposter syndrome to stay in your life, the longer you allow imposter syndrome to not be defined in your life, and define it, say it out loud, and ask yourself, is this really true? The deeper it goes into your psyche, the deeper it becomes part of your identity. And this is not where we want to be. This is not what we need. This is not what the world needs from you. And it's not even true. Like, let's be real here. It is not true. Man, the things that I know to be true. It just blows my mind how the most amazing women are the ones who suffer from this the most. And it just baffles me, because it really is the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of not knowing the next step. It's the fear of knowing the next step and understanding what it's about to open up. Imposter syndrome allows your brain to stay safe, not successful. If you're new to this world, you're into Tammy Marie coaching, one of the things that I talk about is the fact that our brains are meant to keep us safe. Failure and success are not opposites. It is safety and success. When we're safe, we're not growing. When we're safe, we're uncomfortable. We're comfortable sitting in this discomfort when we know there's more. But the thing is, success is being comfortable with the uncomfortable actions. It's getting uncomfortable doing the things we know we need to do. Growth doesn't happen when you're comfortable. And we have this idea that things should be so easy. But then when we start to break it down to make it easy, that's when imposter syndrome and these fears come in and be like, oh, well, we are actually seeing how this can happen. Let's go ahead and put these, like, let's layer this here and make it so we can't actually act. Let's make it so we can't move forward. Let's make it so things are a little more complicated, because then we don't have the responsibility. We don't have to do anything. And when we address imposter syndrome and we talk about it and we acknowledge it and we define it for what it truly is, another way to keep you safe, to keep you stuck, keep you wanting and desiring more, but then it's just easier to stay right where you are. When we start acknowledging that, that's when it loses its power. That's when we call it, you know, I'm overworking to prove my worth instead of imposter syndrome. Now you know what to do with it. Now you can look at the actions and say, okay, what do I not need to do? What can I take away? Because I'm only doing it for XYZ reason that doesn't even mean anything to me. When you are having, you know, when you're defining imposter syndrome, it's like, oh, I really feel like an outsider. You can say, oh, because I've given myself that title of I'm just an outsider, I don't have to be fully present or engage in this conversation, or because I'm an outsider, I don't know exactly, then it blocks that meaningful connections and contributions. Now you have an action step to do. It's like, okay, how do I connect with this group? When we define it, it no longer holds power over us. If this is something that you're struggling with, if this is something that you want to go deeper with, like reach out to me, because this is something that we deal with every day. This is a path I had to go through on my own. In fact, I think all of these, I have experienced. I have overworked to prove my worth. And in fact, it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because it was like, oh, and they aren't seeing my worth, so I need to work even harder. And so I was doing all these things that finally I'm like, Tammy, why? You're not even good at these things, or these are not even things that light you up. You're doing them and they're not actually getting you anywhere. Like, difficulty accepting praise. I need validation. I need that words of affirmation. That is one of my love languages. And as much as I needed it, I would push it away. And you know what that did? Is it felt very disconnected from the people that I loved. It made it so my friends, they didn't know how to love me. If the one way, like my main love language, they were trying and I was pushing back on it. And it made it even that cycle of what I need it, but now I feel guilty that I'm getting it and I need to push it away, but I need to hear it. Like, there's a cycle there that I had to break. And realizing that the accepting praise is actually, and again, it's not tied to my worth, but it gives me that validation. It makes me feel good that I'm making an impact, that what I'm doing is working, that someone noticed. And so if you have a friend who has a difficulty accepting praise, call her out on it. Say, hey, I'm trying to do a good thing here. I notice you. Take this. Encourage her to take it. And then the hesitancy to share your ideas and opinions. I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of opinions that are based on science and based on peer-reviewed things that I've read. I have a lot of, I'm a lifelong learner. I love to read. I love, understanding this. And so when I hesitated to actually share that, there was a disconnect there. There's a missing link that when I started to share my opinions, people started to get to know me a little bit and see, like, because oddly enough, I wasn't the only one who had that opinion. I wasn't the only one who had that idea. Maybe it looked a little different, but we could build on each other and create something amazing. Which of these fall into your version of imposter syndrome? And if you want to go deeper on this, reach out to me. I will put a link to connect with me in the show notes. Because how much longer do you want to allow this imposter syndrome to control you? This made-up term that basically says that you're allowing external circumstances to decide your internal temperature. These fears are controlling your actions. How much longer do you want to say that? How much time do you want to give? How much time do you want to waste? Time is not slowing down, friend. And once we call it for what it is, when we acknowledge the imposter syndrome and the style we have, whatever we define it as, it no longer controls us and we can see a next step and a step through. That's what I want for you. And I can show you a path. I can show you how to work through it. I can show you those next steps. I can show you how, what, which of these is actually plaguing you, so we can get it out of there. All right, friend, with that, like, get on my calendar. It is time to say no more to imposter syndrome, to no more to inadequacies, and to no more to fear, and start just to take slow, steady action to get us the life we want, to build the fulfillment and the impact and the joy that we were called to make. So that way our true value and worth can shine through. All right, friend, with that, choose joy until joy chooses you, and I will see you soon. Bye for now.